Psalms chapter 42 in your Bibles. And we'll read the entire chapter again this evening. And we've been looking on Wednesday nights at discussing the topic, battling our emotions, and more so dealing with depression and how to overcome depression or anxiety or fear. And so what a better time than this to kind of discuss that topic and look at some scriptures this evening. We won't get all the way through my notes, and but we'll get through some of them this evening. We'll go as far as we can, and then when it gets time, we'll just stop and pick up next Wednesday night where we leave off this evening. So, battling our emotions. Psalms 42, look with me at verse number 1. We'll read on verse number 11. The Bible says here, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." What a great psalm about fighting anxiety and despair, but yet getting victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we talked about the last several Wednesday nights, we talked about the causes of depression, anxiety, and fear. We talked that also there's help in Christ Jesus. So tonight we're going to look at help for the cast down, and we're going to talk tonight about how to get help. Father, tonight we ask you to see that you'd help us now as we look at this scripture, Father. Lord, I want your word to be a help, Lord, to our church family, to those who are listening. And Lord, I pray that you'd anoint this place. Father, may you fill this place with your spirit. And Father, I pray that you would just minister to us tonight, Lord, through your word and the preaching of it, Father. We ask tonight in your name, and we ask for your help this evening. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice with me at Psalms 42, if you have a Bible, like a Scofield Bible, a reference Bible, there's probably a title there above Psalms 42. It says, "To the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah." Here that word, the title here is the title Maskell. It brings, and it means instructing. So this is not just a psalm of to sing, but it was a psalm to instruct. It's to be sung with understanding as well. So it's instructing the believer whose road to heaven is as trying as David's experience was as well. And so this psalm was written for the sons of Korah to sing. Remember the sons of Korah, they were spared from their father's doom when they were cast again into the pit alive. And so his sons were spared, and they are now instructed in this psalm of worship. The song of, it's written to a man far removed from worship, fellowship with God, but they're longing again for communion with the Almighty. It is the voice of the believer struggling with depression and despair, gravity, and desiring the renewal of God's presence and favor. So he is struggling with the fears and anxieties and doubts. He clings by faith to the victory that is in Christ Jesus. And this is what this psalm is about. That's what the title means. And so it's instructing us tonight that life happens. And in life, we all experience anxiety and fear, doubts. And sometimes our faith can be troubled somewhat. And so this psalm is to instruct the believer on how to get victory by faith. So tonight I want to look at where is our help tonight for the cast down, for those that are discouraged. Where is their help? And so we find tonight that number one is this. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I want to review it tonight. The triune God is the great comforter. God is the comforter of them that are cast down. And God is our comforter and God is our help. And so with the same idea of being cast down, God can take and God can help the believer get victory over anxiety and fear and, of course, depression. Come with me to the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll look at some verses here this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 30 in your Old Testament, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look with me at verse number 6. Here in verse 1 Samuel chapter 30, David, of course, and his men are gone from Ziklag, and they are going to sign up with the Philistines to fight with them, and of course they are denied that and sent home by the king of the Philistines. And while they were gone, Ziklag, the village was there where they were staying, was invaded by the Amalekites. And of course, you remember the story of how that the Amalekites stole away their children and their wives and their possessions, and they came back to their village destroyed. And David was discouraged, and the men were discouraged and thought about stoning David. Verse number 6 says, "And David was greatly distressed for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." So what I want to see tonight, though, is look at the scripture. We look at examples in the Old Testament. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of people that face life. And as they face life, they face incidences that were overwhelming. And here these men that David had loved and trained and invested in and took when no man would befriend them. David was their friend. And we find that David, now these men in their despair and their discouragement and their depression, they turn against David, to the point where they even spake of stoning him, and David was distressed because of this. But we find that David knew a secret, if you will. He encouraged himself, the Lord is God. Amen. So tonight I want to encourage you that this idea that I'm depressed or I'm anxious or I have fear and no one can help me, my soul can't be comforted, is deception of the devil. Right. Because God can comfort those that are cast down. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we see the example again with the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we see another example of fear and anxiety. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse number 6 with me. Verse number 6 says, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." We see in verse number 5 that as Paul and them were in Macedonia, that they had, the Bible said they had no rest. They were troubled on every side, the word of God says. He said, without were fightings and within were fears. And so there was a fighting, a striving against the culture and the time, against those that would have the gospel be quenched and stop us. So he said, without were fightings, but within were fears. And he said, but God comfort those that are cast down. So we find that God is the comforter of those that are cast down. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And so depression, fear, anxiety, and discouragement are not too hard for God to heal. This idea that, you know, I'm depressed, so I'm going to be depressed for the rest of my life. No one can help me. I've got to be on medication for the rest of my life. I've got to be curled up in a fetal position in my bed. It's a deception of the devil. It's a lie of the world. God can comfort those that are cast down, and God can heal, bring complete healing, by the way, to those who are discouraged and depressed. God is man's great comforter. We see here in verse number 6, it says, "Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us." Watch it now, by the coming of Titus. And so God knew where Paul was at, and he knew the help he needed. And so he comforted Paul by sending Titus to encourage him. And so God engineered the comfort for this man. So we know that God, we can see that God, let's see if I'm a little behind here. So depression, fear, and anxiety, and discouragement are not too hard for God to heal. God is man's great comforter. All right? And so we have to, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we need to make God the object of our faith and not some man-made theory. People make the object of their faith, the object of their healing, something that has no hope. We put our faith in doctors and psychiatrists and medication. Put our faith in things that are supposedly going to make us happy. But we've got, as the Psalm writes here in Psalms 42, God must be the object of our faith and our desire. And God is man's great comforter. Listen, the God of heaven that flung the stars in space and knows them by name, and that made heaven and earth with just a spoken voice, that part of the Red Sea and fed the children with manna, giving water from a rock. Whatever our problem is, it's not too hard for God. This idea that we serve somehow a little God is a wrong mindset to have. We serve a great big God, and our problems are not too hard for God to heal or to solve. God knows. God engineered man's comfort. We see this in our text tonight, in our 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, that God knew where Paul was at, and he sent Titus to comfort him. And so God engineered the comfort. And I believe that. I believe that in your life as well, that when there's trials that are coming your way, or anxiety or fear, that God engineers the comfort for his children. God knows where you are, and he knows what you need. God has never lost anyone yet. God doesn't sit up in heaven and say, what am I going to do now? You know, sometimes, in our life, and recently with the virus, people are asking, what are we going to do now? God has never been in a spot in his life or in his existence, if you will, or eternity, where he wrings his hand with fear and anxiety and says, oh no, what am I going to do now? He knows where you're at. He doesn't go to Michael or Gabriel and say, hey, have you seen Mr. So-and-so lately? We've misplaced him. I remember talking to Brother Shive years ago, and his brother was in Special Forces, and they were deployed somewhere overseas. And they were supposed to be there for a mission, and as they were there, the commanders forgot that they placed them in that mission, and they spent several months waiting to be remembered and be picked up again. They were forgotten over there. And God never does that. God doesn't forget where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And so God is a comforter of those that are cast down. We see back in our text tonight, Psalms 42, verse 11, as the psalmist here, he writes and he talks about his anxiety, about his discouragement, about his fear. He writes and says in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. So here he is, he's talking to himself. He's asking himself the question of all the things that, why are you cast down? Why is my soul weary? Why am I discouraged? And he tells himself again, hope thou in God. And so we must, as people, here's the instruction given by man that experienced depression and found help in God. You can, and we must, as believers, trust God. Man attempts to find help and comfort in the tangible. We seek our help from pills. We live in a society today that pills has become a modern day little god. And we put our hope in pills. We have our hope in therapy. Counseling is huge. If you're a counselor, you can make tons of money in these days, in these hours. Worldly wisdom is exalted. Men exalt worldly wisdom. And we look to social media, and we make much. By the way, here's another thing that I see today in our society. We make much about being a victim. Yeah. You know, when I grew up, heroes were exalted, and heroes were applauded. But we live in a day and age where victims are exalted, and victims are exalted, and victims are applauded. And we owe the victims something. And so we've made this now, this is our go-to, our remedy. This is what we go to for comfort. We find, there used to be a day when you could find great comfort and accomplishment and being a hero or being a victor. But now folks find this comfort in being a victim. And, it's, And here we find that we attempt to find help and comfort in the tangible, what we can see and touch. But it's the heart problem it's a heart condition. It's a heart condition that man has. All these other remedies that man tries to come up with only mask and never heal the real problem. I've never seen anybody, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not saying that people have not been helped, I'm not an expert. But in my experience dealing with people who are depressed and anxious and fear, I've never seen them help through counseling or therapy. They've never gotten better on pills. There might be some, and if you know some, I sure like to meet them. But I've never met anybody in my ministry that has gotten victory over depression, anxiety, over being discouraged with pills and modern-day medicines and modern-day therapy and counseling. Someone said here, God said, God is the health of my countenance. Now, how does God comfort those who are cast down? That's a good question. If God's our comfort, how does He comfort those that are cast down? God will always target the heart of man. God always targets where the problem lies. The problem is not in the circumstance of our life. The problem is in the condition of our heart. Let's see here. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the spirit is broken. We find out that when a man faces depression, discouragement, anxiety, and fear, it's not a problem of the circumstance. It's a condition of the heart. Now, I'm not making light of the circumstance. I realize there are times when people go through huge situations. Situations that look helpless or maybe impossible to help. But it's not the condition, it's not the circumstances that causes men depression and discouragement. It's the condition of the heart. Because we've seen folks that go through overwhelming things and huge circumstances that maintain a faith and joy in the Lord. And so when God helps the victim, when God helps those who are discouraged, God doesn't necessarily always fix the circumstance, but He'll target the heart. Target the heart. You see, here's the crazy thing. We want God to leave us as we are, but make the circumstance easier. What God wants to do is God wants to strengthen your faith in your heart to serve in the circumstance. Watch this now. Look at these verses. Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. So God targets the heart. God doesn't always, He doesn't always take away the circumstance or situation. But if we trust in God and believe in God, He strengthens the heart. Psalms 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Yes, amen. Now, here's a great verse of encouragement. Many folks who are depressed or discouraged, have fear, have been, somewhere in their life, they've been wounded. But God says here that He can heal the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. Acts 2:28, Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And so the Christian must seek God's face. We must seek God and let God strengthen our spirit. So God is a comfort of those that are cast down, but He targets the heart. He targets the heart. Now here's what I want you to see, dealing with the heart. I want you to look first at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3 with me. Salvation gives the believer lively hope. Now salvation is just not... Thank God He saves us from our sins and from hell. But there's more to salvation than that. And we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Look at verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness to manifold temptations. I want you to notice tonight that God says here in His Word that He has begotten us again unto a lively hope. That the Scripture gives that the salvation gives the believer a lively hope. Look at verse number 18. It says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Salvation gives the believer a lively hope. And our hope is not in the flesh. Our hope is in God. You see, salvation, it takes in it, salvation, look at John chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Look back at a familiar passage of Scripture with Nicodemus. Here's what most people, I would say tonight, that are depressed need. John chapter 3, verse number 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, and verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. I think man's greatest need, and no matter what his problem is, man's greatest need is salvation. And the Bible reminds us that a man must be born again. When a man is born of flesh, he is flesh, and his spirit that is within him is dead. It must be quick. It must be made alive. So Nicodemus, as he questioned Christ, said, how can I get have everlasting life? And he said, you have to be, Nicodemus. You must be born again. Because in your flesh, you cannot enter into heaven. Your flesh is corrupt and it's dead. And since it's in trespasses, you must be born again. You must be quickened by the Spirit of God. And so when a man is born again, that which is spirit. And if we're going to, and so God targets the heart and the spirit of man. And so when a man is lost and not saved, his focus is on the flesh and on the emotions. And this is where counseling stops. This is where the world just stops. They don't deal with the spirit of man, that dead part of man. They deal with man's soul, his emotions, and his flesh, and they never get help because a man, first of all, must be saved. His spirit must be quickened. And so we're reminded that a man must be born again. This salvation is according to God's mercy, and it births in us a lively hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ energizes this hope. Why do we have a lively hope? The Bible says because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He was raised from the dead, seemingly an impossible thing. Death had seemingly overcome Him, but by the power of God He was raised from the dead. This energizes our faith in Christ. It energizes our hope. Because we are the first fruits then. You see, the object and our focus of our faith must be on God. I'm convinced tonight, and I'm not here to make anybody doubt their salvation, I'm convinced tonight there are a lot of folks that have never been born again. They have mouthed the prayer, they repeated after me, but they have never truly been born again of the Spirit of God. And they have all the external lookings. And they know how to talk the talk and walk the walk. They know how to come in the church with the Bible, with the right kind of Bibles and sing the hymns, but their spirit has never, they've never been born again. Their spirit has never been quickened because their focus is always on the flesh and the soul of man. Their emotions are led by the emotions. But if a man is going to get victory over depression or fear, anxiety, it begins with him being born again. Tonight, if your hope's in anything else besides Christ, you must be born again. You must be saved. Now look with me at a couple other verses then for the believer. Look with me at Romans chapter 15. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture tonight, but I really want you to see the word of God here. How that God is the comforter of those who are cast down. Now, doesn't mean that once you get saved that a believer never gets discouraged or depressed. We know that's not true. But a person that's not been born again really has no hope. There's no hope that they can look to. Their hope is stuck in a bottle. The hope is stuck in a pill case. The hope is stuck in a bar. And how many times do you hear of folks committing suicide and their life being destroyed because the depression overwhelmed them? So there must be a lively hope that only comes from being born again. But we find that the God of hope gives the believer abounding hope. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, the word of God says here, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And so God, He gives us now, when you get born again, He gives you a lively hope. We believe that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He rose again from the dead, that you and I too have victory over sin as well. But God says here to the believer that God will fill your heart with joy and peace. That's the opposite of depression. That's the opposite of fear. That's the opposite of anxiety. It's amazing how many Christians today live their life in anxiety and fear. Well, preacher, what if we die? What have we been looking forward to all of our lives? What have we been looking for as Christians, as we've been saying? What do we preach about? We make this world really, when things happen, it really reveals that this world has become our God. We're really anchored down here. You ought to not put any anchors in this world. And so God says here that He fills us with abounding hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This hope is abounding. It's not limited. It's not scarce. You know, you might go to the store tonight and not find a few things. You know, you might. It's amazing all the things on Facebook about homemade toilet paper. You know, you're not going to go to God's store and find there's no hope there on the shelf. It's abounding. And when a little bit comes off, God replaces it right away again. So we have abounding hope. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 17 as well. Here's the prayer of the Apostle Paul. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, now watch it now, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. On Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Here we see here tonight that the Word of God says to us that God wants to fill you. God wants to fill you with fullness of God. And we find tonight that God says here that God fills the believer with joy and peace, and believe that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is the power of God that worketh in us. The same God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The same God that worketh in you. And so tonight, don't make much of your problem. Make much of your God. See, preacher, my problem seems impossible. Seems overwhelming. But God said, I'm able to exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. You can't ask too much from God. You can't ask for too big of a help. There are sometimes you might not ask your neighbor for a favor. The other day my neighbor came across the yard and said, "Hey, do you have a sledgehammer I can borrow?" "Sure, no problem." Now if he said, "Hey, do you have money I can borrow?" That might have been a problem. But a sledgehammer was no problem. Listen, there is no favor too big you can ask from God. God's never going to say, "Well, I'm out of that. I don't have that. I'm not able to do that." So whatever your situation may be, God is able. He said He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or even to think. There are some things that we may think about that we never even speak for fear of being rejected. But God said, "I can do above all those things." And so your infirmity. Look at another verse here. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. We come to where Paul discusses his infirmity. Look with me at verse number 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that might depart from me. So here Paul's dealing with this thorn in the flesh, whatever it may be. Some believe it was his eyesight, but he wanted God to deliver him. And he prayed for it three times. Lord, take it away. Now Paul had seen other folks healed. He's seen other folks raised from the dead. So this is not a problem with God to heal. Verse number 11 said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 11 says, I am become a fool in glory. For we see here Paul's attitude and his spirit toward facing discouragement and depression and anxiety and this problems in his life. And so your infirmity is not your doom. Whatever your problem is tonight, it's not your doom. It is an avenue to the grace of God and the power of Christ. You see, sometimes we look at problems as, this problem is my doom. It's my downfall. It's going to be the end of me. But really, God said, listen, your problem, your infirmity, is not your doom. It's an avenue to the grace and power of God. What the devil calls your weakness, God calls your strength. The devil will exploit your weakness and try to conquer you in that, but God will aid you in your weakness. If your weakness is crushing you, you're getting the wrong meds. Now remember that. If your weakness is crushing you, overwhelming you, paralyzing you, preacher, I can't do anything, I just can't get out of bed in the morning, then you're on the wrong meds. If your weakness is enabling you to see more of Christ in your life, your weakness is working a good work in you. Why does God sometimes allow things come into our life that seems to be overwhelming and discouraging? He wants to work a good work in you. So Paul said this, if God won't take it away, God's grace is sufficient for me. So rather than make my weakness my God, or whether in glory, rather than make my weakness my downfall, I'm going to glory in the power of God. So he said, when problems come, I'm just going to exalt God and trust in God. Here, all that being said is that tonight is this, that God comforts those that are cast down. Now again, a lot of verses tonight, I don't want to just skim the surface this evening. So you have to get to, sometimes you got to study on purpose a little bit and pay attention on purpose. I wish I was a better, could deliver it better. But I want to see the scripture tonight that God is able to, if God, from the pages of Genesis, the book of Revelation, if God can comfort his saints, God can comfort you. Yes, he's not changed. Nope. Now our society has changed. Society that used to exalt God and godliness and going to church and reading the Bible and praying now exalts all other kinds of crazy stuff. It's amazing how that the God is taken out and God is targeted and God is blamed to be the bad guy, and we've taken God out of our schools and we've taken God out of our society, and we exalted all kinds of medication and booze and all kinds of things that only further cause men to be more depressed, more anxious, and more fear. So tonight, my goal is tonight to see that show you that God is the comfort of those that are cast down. And our object of faith, our object of desire, as the psalms right here, it must be to God. David said, the psalmist said here, I'm wrestling with my emotions. I'm battling my emotions, but my heart pants after God. My hope is in God. Tonight, if your hope is in money, you're going to go home and put it on your pillow tonight and be full of fear. If your hope is in our government to fix our problems, tonight you're going to go home and have anxiety and fear. If your hope is in what you can do, what you can drink, what you can touch, what you can taste, what you can take to numb your heart and your mind, when the numbing is gone and you're sober and you're in your right mind, you'll still have fear. But as the psalmist says, if our hope is in God, he is the health of my countenance, because he targets the heart. We'll look at next week. Thank you for being patient. We'll look at next week that Jesus Christ is a comforter of those that are cast down. Not only does God comfort us, but Christ also is a comforter to those that are cast down. Father, tonight we come to you in closing. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening, Father. Lord, our man's real problem is in their spirit and their heart. We try to fix that by focusing on the flesh and our emotions. That is a dead-end road. Father, help us, I pray, that we would focus not on the flesh or our emotions, but on our spirit. Lord, may this object of our spirit, Father, may our focus, Lord, be upon Christ and upon God. Lord, save those that should be saved this evening. And God, encourage the hearts of Christians, I pray, as God comforts those that are cast down. We ask in your name, amen.